Hello and welcome to the Smart Beauty Podcast. I'm your host, Viola Levy, beauty journalist and founder of copy-led branding agency, Smart Beauty Creative. We're here to create your brand voice and craft the story behind it. I'm truly honoured to welcome today's guest, Ruby Hammer, MBE. Needing very little introduction, she is an industry-renowned British Bangladeshi makeup artist, entrepreneur, and the founder of cult 90s brand Ruby & Millie, which she founded with Millie Kendall, CEO of the British Beauty Council. And more recently, Ruby Hammer Beauty, a capsule collection of beauty essentials. Born in Nigeria to Bangladeshi parents, she moved to London at the age of 12 and a few years later started her career on the shop floor of Harrods before becoming an assistant to a leading makeup artist, and her star continued to rise from there. She was awarded an MBE in 2007 for her contributions to the cosmetics industry. And as a kid in the 90s, myself, with black hair, glasses and an olive complexion, I didn't fit into the conventional beauty mold where blonde and white was seen as the ideal, and I didn't consider myself pretty in comparison. Yet Ruby & Millie was my first introduction to the glamorous world of beauty, and the sleek packaging and branding just mesmerized me. It showed me that beauty could be fun, not serious and grown up always, but something to make you feel good, not just look good. I got given a copy of Ruby & Millie's book Face Up for my birthday one year. I think I was about 10 or 11. And it just taught me the basics of beauty and just the stunning photography and diverse range of models, which wasn't commonplace at the time, really stood out to me. In a sea of homogenous beauty ideals, I think this was the first time I felt like the world of beauty truly was for everyone, and there wasn't just one way to be pretty. I feel very privileged to have gotten to know Ruby as a beauty journalist, and interviewing her on my podcast, I feel like my career has really come full circle. What I love about Ruby is that she has a lot of opinions on the industry, which I love and can't wait to delve into, as well as being very open about her personal journey, which I'm really looking forward to chatting to her about as well. So without further ado, Ruby, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much, Viola, for asking me. It's really great. God, it sounds quite funny when you hear somebody else relay.
No, definitely. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. And going back to the very beginning, so growing up in Nigeria and later London, I'd love to know what your introduction to the beauty world was like. And did you always imagine that one day you would have a career in it?
No, not at all, because my late father was a doctor, and I always assumed I would follow his profession. And it was only when we arrived back in this country and I realised, when you're doing your O-levels, I don't know what they're called now, but at that stage I realised, oh my God, out of all the science subjects, the only one I liked was biology, and I probably don't have the aptitude for that vocation. You know, you can't just imagine, I want to be this. You've got to have the skills and the brains to do that. And so then I changed to social sciences, and it didn't mean my education stopped. It just means the way, the focus, you know, like that. And talking about beauty, my mum was a very young mum. You know, she had me at 17. So that's probably the inspiration for beauty and how transformative that power is of how you look and you put a face on. You know, she was a housewife with three kids by age 21. But she was still a very good supportive partner to my father. So she'd be cooking all day, sweaty and horrible in Nigeria. And yet then when it was a cocktail party or a dinner party, you know, she would change herself with makeup, with hair, with the wigs, with this, with that, and different bits of what you wear. And it was a very good template for me to see how many facets a woman has. You know, she's a woman, she's a mother, she's a wife, she's her own personality. Yes. And beauty is part of that. You know, there's always all our appearances are like that, whether it's for women or men. You have to shower, you have to be clean. It's a sign of good health. You know, there's a thing when you are suffering mental health issues that one of the first things that goes is probably your attention to hygiene, personal hygiene, and things that make you look and feel better. So they're not just shallow things. You
No,
know, if you
exactly.
start not brushing your teeth and not having a wash and not having it has bearing on lots of things. So I don't like this thing of people just think, oh, we're just so engrossed with how we look. It's like some shallow, horrible thing. It's actually a good sign of taking care of yourself. One of the first steps towards that before you get into a aesthetic or a creative, you know, what the trend is, what the style is. Are you living up to that? Is it expensive? Cheap? Is it mass? Is it luxury? Just the basics of having clean teeth, clean hair, clean body, not smelling, you know, your nails are cut or groomed, and it's a sign of your good mental health, your physical well-being. And that's a start to, you know, why do we have care for people who, when they can't look after themselves, when they're ill, elderly, or whatever, pay a lot of attention to that, don't we? About having that bit of making you look
For
all,
sure, like taking
you
care
know,
of
so it's
yourself
very
definitely
important. It's very
it
important.
is. It's not necessarily about vanity. It's kind of, I liken it to making your bed every morning and keeping your house tidy, similar to what you were saying. I think
All of
somebody's mental
this,
health
it's
suffers, their ha you know, their house starts to become disarray and things can
and bring
fall apart.
disease, you know, things that you use, you know, just the way you dispose of your rubbish has a bearing. If you don't take care of it, you're in your home. Like, yes, we all get a bit busy, and I'm probably a bit messier than most people. I'm scrupulously clean, but I'm a little bit of a hoarder, and things come, you know, as you well know, as a journalist or in beauty, tons of things come to us and we have to address it and deal with it, and it can't all be dealt with in that exact second.
No.
And then the way I give a lot away, but I have to also hold on to something because it's not relevant right now, but it will be in something later, you know, because I'm judging something or I'm going to talk about it or it goes in my kit. Not every single thing gets used every single time from
No.
when it's given to you. You know, you have to look at it to think, oh my God, that was so amazing. This is appropriate for this particular job or shoot or what I'm going to talk about now or master class or whatever it is. So there's
Yeah.
a lot of stuff arrives through our door, and it's not just keeping yourself looking okay, like you said, it's not just vanity, but your environment, your bed, your home, your what you put inside your body, how you think. You know, sometimes if it's just too much, just to take a walk away from something, just to be in nature for 5 minutes, if there's a park or somewhere you can just sit and kind of breathe to get your balance back, is all part of living this life. And sometimes it gets overwhelming for all of us. Whatever, you know, we're not a 3-year-old that I can just throw a tantrum
No.
and deal with it and cope with it like an adult. So everybody needs different things that helps them cope with this thing called life, you know.
Couldn't agree more. And I feel like, yes, there probably is a toxic element of the beauty industry, and people do prey on people's insecurities. I like to think that that's not widespread, that that's kind of a.
There's a toxic element in life. Do you know what I mean? Humans
That's
are,
it.
even the best person has moments of weakness and has said a harsh word here or there
For
or
sure.
lurked out. And vice versa, you know,
I think
like
in
there's
beauty, it's
some,
just so blatant. I think that's
it
why
is,
people get up in arms about it.
coping. It's not just, oh my God, it's just the beauty industry that
No.
carries a toxic crown. It's life. People in all walks of life, in all professions, do belittle, troll, you know, gaslight, undermine, whatever, or are not, or are, you know, double-faced, whatever they are, for whatever reason. We don't know,
Yeah,
because
for sure.
that's how it is, isn't it? So
No, definitely. And I was talking to Millie about this when she was on the podcast a while back. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to look good. It's just as long as you don't have to, you know, look good in order to feel good or to feel like you need to meet a certain standard. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's all about body image,
or
isn't it?
like look a certain way because somebody tells you that that's how you're supposed to be. Or, you know, I don't dictate to anybody. I never have done, even in my working things. I've followed trends, I've set trends, but I feel in the end, everybody, it should be their interpretation of what it is that suits and works for them. You know, I don't like being dictated to that way. Oh,
Yeah.
you're 63 years old, so you shouldn't wear denim shorts, or you can't wear this, or you can't wear that. The only thing
Ridiculous.
is, I can't see properly to do a liquid eyeliner the way I can do it on somebody else. I don't
Yeah.
execute it as well on me, even with my skills. So I've made peace with it that when I can do a little flip, I'll do it if I'm feeling steady or not, and I've got the time. And when I don't have to do it, even though it's a product that's in my range at the minute. You know, like
Exactly.
it's just this having to, the pressure of having to. I think it's quite liberating to be able to make peace with it, come to terms with aging or beauty or knowing. These are the features you've been blessed with, and it is a blessing.
Exactly. Like, I actually
It's
feel, I
a
don't know about
blessing
you,
for
but the older I
everybody
get, the
been
better I
given.
feel about myself. You
It's a
know.
blessing. So I think, all right, my eyes are never going to be this big and huge, or I'm losing my hair now, so it'll never be that lush thing that people look at as South Asian beauties. You're going to have this thick curtain of hair. You've got more hair than I have, and you know what? You make peace with it and you address it the best way you
Exactly.
without all your energy just going on how you look.
100%. And like I say, I feel like it's how you carry yourself, isn't it? And just, you know what? I might have a less collagen than I did in my 20s, but I'm all right. As long as I look good for my age and I don't look
But
knackered, it's like,
loses that, including the man, you know, like
yeah.
we have it and we lose it progressively, progressively. And when you know that you lose it, if there's something you can do about it, like taking a supplement, whether it's a cream, whether it's a liquid, or doing your, you know, weight training or boosting the X, whatever that is, when you know the remedy for it and you're inclined to try that, then that's great.
No,
There's,
definitely.
you know, that's all it's about. How do you get through this journey of life? And it is unique to you.
Yeah.
Nobody lives somebody else's journey. We all live our own individual, you know, all 8 billion of us on the planet right now. I don't know. I think that's right. I think we're 8 billion. But everyone has to kind of sustain and live their unique journey. You know, there are lots of
Exactly.
things you can learn from each other and lots of generalities, and this works for someone. So, but within it, no one's journey is 100% the same as somebody else's.
No, that's for certain. And that's quite wonderful in a way, isn't it? I mean, but in terms of like body image, I mean, I've mentioned that I kind of struggled with it growing up. Obviously growing up in like Nigeria, imagine was very different than if you'd grown up spent all your life growing up in London. Did you struggle with
It's
body
true.
image?
You know, I was in a hot country. I was reed thin. My father was tall and thin. I was reed thin and I was always a bit of a tomboy, so I didn't ever stay indoors when you're supposed to do the siesta. I would be out there and I was always darker and skinny and, like, you know, like my nickname was Mowgli because I was always this scrap with runny hair, with scraps on my elbows, knees, and a bit of that dusty hair. And then when you come here, it's like the opposite. The temperature is extremely cold. And luckily, my school, I went to a comprehensive, didn't have a, you know, it wasn't, you didn't have to have compulsory school uniform. So I wore my own thing. So I've expressed myself fashion-wise from going to school. And we were allowed to wear makeup as well. So when I was allowed to wear it from 14, 15, you know, I did it. I experimented wildly before I became a professional at it, and then that's I reduced wearing it because it was like more about just being clean and comfortable and wearing your
Yeah.
layers. But it wasn't about how I looked, but making my subject and delivering the job, whatever that was, a fashion show or an editorial, or whether it was a advertising or TV or something. You know, there was no social media in those days, so it wasn't those kind of things. But within it, it was still, I did many different things.
Yeah.
It
Yeah.
was more about, my focus was on who I was looking at, not about me. And
No.
yet, I was able to use those skills to make myself look okay. And then in the 90s, when we became the face of a brand, it was important how we looked. You know, like you can't be
Yes.
selling cosmetics to someone and not wear a stitch yourself.
No.
And But having someone like Millie, who was a direct, complete contrast to how I was in appearance, you know, she was blonde, blue, green eye, you know, just in colouring and in manner and personality, everything. But we were really good mates and we were business partners and we had different ways of tackling something, but we came to similar conclusions about the brand and about our perceptions of life. So it's about keeping yourself open to receiving info and giving your own way out, and hopefully somebody out there listens to your version as well.
Yeah, so body image wasn't really an issue for you, would you say?
Well, it was in some funny way because it wasn't body issue that I was big in size, but I was really little. So everyone would keep going on about how skinny you are. Oh my God, you're so little. You're like a twiglet. And you had all these funny nicknames. But my parents never made me feel that that was something, you know, as long as you were healthy, you ate well, you
That's
slept,
good.
I was energetic, I played, so it, you know, my father was a doctor, so it was like, yeah, he did have loads of people like, look at her, is she all right? Like, she's not got worms or rickets or something or weird. And then they'd look at you playing, like you say, you've got the energy. I wasn't listless and just sitting there like a broken kid. I had, and I slept and I ate. I had an appetite. I didn't overindulge because I just didn't. That wasn't my nature. When I was full up, I was full up. That's it. You know, they didn't force you. You've got to eat what's on your plate. But we were taught not to waste food and only put in your plate what you think you're going to eat. And, well, you know, so I did have issues because people made me feel like you weren't normal. You were like this over skinny person. And then now, you know, when you're at the other end of the spectrum where I'm in my 60s and you have menopause and you have a thickening of the waist and things are a little bit, it's just not the same as how I was my entire life where people would go on. Like, I bet you if how I used to look, people would say, oh, are you on Mounjaro? Are you taking the jabs and all that? And I'd have to say, no, I'm not. This is how I am naturally. Thank you. There's nothing wrong with how somebody chooses to want to live their life. But what I'm saying is there is an issue, but you can't make somebody feel bad for how they are,
No, definitely not.
you know, like that is their DNA. Well, you shouldn't do that.
And I imagine, because you were the first makeup artist of colour to be regularly featured on British TV. I mean, imagine it's tough to be the first of anything, and it can be a lot of emotional weight to carry. I mean, how did you navigate that?
The truth is, I didn't know that's what I was. It's only when you look back with hindsight, I just did what I did. I wanted to be the best in my field and in the nation that I was in. You know, like if I had, because I was already married quite young and I was a mother quite young, at 25, I'd had my daughter, I've been married, and I started assisting. So it's not like I was at the forefront of everything right at the beginning. No, it was a journey. I had to work, I had to assist, I got good jobs. I got a good agent, and then the good jobs kept coming. You meet other photographers, you know, like the teams and what I did. So it didn't all happen in one day, but I just kept pushing my boundary for myself. I just wanted to be, I didn't want to be known as Asian makeup artist or brown face makeup artist. I was just a makeup artist doing my best. But it wasn't even about being British or Bangladeshi or African or it, I was just me. Doing the best I could and pushing the boundaries for myself. And it's only when I look back now, I realize, my God, having that bit of confidence or just a bit of self-respect to just say, this is what I want to do. And I wasn't going there on the tailcoats of I'm this or I'm that or some sort of. Now I look back and I think, God, I really was one of the first ones down there. Good. I'm glad that he busted the door for other people to come, and it gave people, certainly other Asians, that, oh my God, there's other jobs that could be had, not just an accountant and a lawyer and a doctor. It allowed them, they could say to their parents, look, this girl has made a living out of this. She didn't have to. And I was very, not vocal, but I was very open. I've always been transparent about what I've been doing. So whether it was in the press or whether it was in interviews or whichever means that was open to me, I discussed openly. So there's always, if you go back, I never hid my age or what I did or what I didn't. But there's also constraints in that I could never just go off and be a makeup artist in New York or Paris and do all the some wonderful things like someone like Di Kendall or Val Garland or Pat McGrath. You know, they are exceptional artists and they were able to go and follow those big photographers and not taking away from their enormous God-given creative talents. You know, I
Yes.
have mine, they have theirs. I probably have it in a more commercial way of my creative. It's not that I lack it, but I have it in a different way to how they had it. And I put my family and foremost, and this is where they were based, and this is where I was going to be based and work from and do the best I could within this and pushed and excelled as far as I could get. But no, I don't have 20 million Vogue covers the way Pat has or somebody else has. You know, I don't have that 10,000 couture shows. I've done shows, I've done couture. It's not like I don't know what they're doing, but everybody has their gift and has their.
Yes.
And, but this way, yes, unwittingly, I did break the things by being on TV, by being that. And now it's all about what's on social
Yeah.
media, who gets seen where.
And I'm sure there were lots of models who were, women of color who were relieved to work with you because you knew how to work with their skin. Because I imagine a lot of
Well,
makeup
it
artists
didn't exactly throw me, you know, like they could. I would always say to them, because a lot of them, because of that, would have their own base or something. But I always knew I had to be a makeup artist, so I would have, I didn't know who I was going to have. It could be someone so pale, it could be a male, it could be someone who wore a lot of makeup or didn't wear anything, or they wanted something natural or they didn't. And they, you know, they'd have a person of color or not. So I'd have to have it in my kit. That's what
Yes.
a professional makeup artist does. So to me, it was quite shocking when they'd go, oh, okay, there's really one is I was more obsessed about the hygiene, you know, like things were clean and I had this
Yeah.
and I had brushes and I had the tools to remove their makeup or add this or add the texture, not just about the color. I just took it as given,
Yeah.
not really, oh my God, that some people were like, oh my God, at least you'll have, she'll know how to deal with our skin.
Exactly.
And sometimes, you know, like when I worked with Alec, wait, you know, and it was a Nevada show or something, and she was beautiful skin, pitch black. But her skin didn't need that much cover up because it was quite uniform. And I was like, I was never one of these artists that put tons of makeup on just because you have to be on that
Yes.
thick everywhere. So I just did it where she needed, where she didn't. She needed blush, we put that on. We did her eyes black, put mascara, you know, did all that. So it wasn't just covering her face with a base that wasn't needed and wasn't her color. We
Yeah.
allowed her natural beauty and her coloring to stand out. So, you know, and
Yeah.
then there's somebody else, and when you have got dark skin, you have got pigmentation. So sometimes you do have to color correct that, and you do have to put the concealer on, and then to match all that, you do have to put base elsewhere. So it's always about what's appropriate with the face that's in front of you. Well,
Are you
this is it.
excited about the way the beauty industry is going and the trend?
Some parts of it I'm excited, but some parts of it I'm overwhelmed, same as everybody else, because I'm of a certain age, and that technological, this snap, you know, quick, it's not second nature to me. I have to pay attention and say, oh, what is it I have to do now? You know, like, oh, what is this? What is that? So I'm normal and I don't know all the answers. I don't. I have
Yeah.
to listen and I have to be guided. And sometimes I'm very clear about what I feel and know and say. And sometimes I have to be receptive to what's out there. I don't know it all, you know, so it is that. And I will adjust and put bits that make sense to me and I'm able to afford or want or willing to do that. And some things I think, oh God, that's definitely not me. I don't think I can do it that way. You know, it's vitally important to do the social media bit, but I can't do that all day and all night because I do have a life and I want some
Yeah.
boundary and
It's the beast that always needs to be fed, right?
yeah. And yet I do want to be. I have always had a drive and ambition, so I will do that, but not above and beyond anything else, you know, so
No. I mean, I'm
just
loving the whole, like,
constantly adjusting and maneuvering and cutting my cloth to what fits me at that time.
That's really important. But I do love the sort of spiritual wellness trend that a lot of brands seem to be leaning into now. I mean, is that a big part of your life philosophy? Are you
It
into
always has been. Do you know what I mean? I've always been. I think it's good because it means the more they get into it, the more people have access to that kind of thinking, to be aware that it's not just the cosmetic, it's the mind, body, soul, spirit, planet. Good for our planet and good for ourselves, good for our, not just for yourself while you're alive, what legacy you're leaving for the next generation, you know, whether it's your own personal children, grandchildren or not, but what are you doing as a human being on the planet as you depart it? Because your grandparents and the other people that had fought the world wars or whatever they had left, they gave us a legacy. And now we have to, the responsibility is ours too. What are we going to leave for the future generation in our own way? So it's good, all of that, anything that bolsters or opens your third eye or mind to how something else can be perceived or another perspective is nothing but to be commended. And sometimes by doing that, yes, it's commercial, yes, it's meant to be money making. By all of those people stepping into the arena, it gives you more choice, doesn't it?
No, definitely. And I know you love mentoring people in the industry. I mean, what are the biggest kind of mistakes you see people making when they want to launch a brand, in your
Well,
opinion?
I think I mentor not in a formal way. I
No.
mentor you talk to someone or somebody asks you advice or something, just to be really honest and give them what you feel at that time. That is the best way. But I think a lot of something now is I think they just think there's a formula to doing it. There's no formula,
No.
no real formula to doing it because your product is unique to you and what made you choose it, how you're going to put it in a packaging, which way, which route you're going to use to fund it, if you've got the fund or not, or whatever, you know. So it's, and also people think, so the formula, and then they think, oh, if I just pick your brains, I'm going to be able to do it. You can't copy what I've just done. You can listen, you should listen, you should ask
Yes.
me questions, you should do this, and is it appropriate for you? Is it this? Is it that? But, and also people forget the amount of effort and energy that you have to give as a founder, as stepping into a commercial arena. It's not easy. It's
No,
really not
people are
easy. So you
scared to be
really,
different, I think. People are scared to kind
you
of go
really,
against the grain. And I think that, but that's the key to success, isn't it? It's
and you've
being
got
different,
to
it's stepping out
really
wide.
love what you're doing and that product. And you, otherwise, it's even with that, sometimes it fails, you know. So be aware that it could all fail. This is no guarantee about anything. Listen to everything, but it's also not this snap your fingers and everyone thinks, oh, it's just all happens. I just get one viral video and that's it. I'm off. It's a business. It's a continuous, you know, like you've got to take your hat off to the Estee Lauders and the L'Oreals and Shiseidos of the world. The LV, that yes, they lose and stocks and shares and things, but they've been going for how many years? Do you know how hard that is?
I mean, it's hard to leave the beauty. Once you're in the beauty industry, it's kind of like a cult. You don't really, it's hard to leave once you're in.
Yeah, and everyone has a place in it.
They
Everybody has
do.
a place.
They
They
do.
really do. You've got a little, and don't be so competitive. Oh, I'm not at the top end, or I'm not there. Everything laterally there and everything, we have a space in
Everyone
it.
has their place in the ecosystem,
Yes,
and
it's lovely.
that's what's great about it. I think it's the antithesis of fashion in a lot of ways. It's just not as elitist, and it's not this kind of private
We've always been a more
club.
warmer and kinder industry. In that way, I mean, there is still fierce competition, but it's not as brutal, I would say, as some other industries.
Oh, definitely not. And what's next for you? You've achieved so much. Is there anything left that you
There's tons left. There's tons left. Like, look, even my brand here now, I really put out a big message to say, please, I need to be in some bricks and mortar. I'd love to be in Selfridges. I'd love to be in Liberty's or Space NK or Marks and Spencer, you know, anything, just somewhere now. I think we need to be indoors somewhere. So I'd love that. But also, it's growing. We've got new territories. We're in Canada, we're in Norway,
Amazing.
got distributors here. There's still deals to be done and so many doors to open and reach out to and get to a customer to say, look, it doesn't matter what age you are. If you like using this product, it is vegan, it is cruelty-free, it is, I don't shout with a megaphone, clean, clean, because I do find that a bit, oh,
Because
it does a
overused,
bit, because
it should
there's
just be given.
yeah, there is, when you talk to an intelligent person, you realize there's no uniform
No.
criteria for that. But some people are so big with a megaphone saying that, and I think, yeah, that's right for your description of what you are, but it changes and with the
There's no
country,
standardized, way of
there's no standardized way. But within it, I do the best I can within my brand. Yes, it's kind to the planet and to myself. It's as sustainable and as recyclable as I can afford and manage at this moment. And when I can do more, I'll do more, so there's so much more to achieve, and it's an ongoing thing. It's just
That's
going.
brilliant.
We're just moving, and every day, and we're far better than we were 2 years ago, and I intend to be far better in 2 years' time ahead of me.
And
So
lastly, like, what would you like your legacy to be?
I just think, I hope people think that just the way I've lived my life and navigated my career, but resounds for somebody, that they can see that it wasn't just without its difficulties, but that I've managed to do it, and you can do it your way. I don't know any other way. I only know how to be me, and I do
Yes.
what I think is right, and I hope that that has earned somebody's respect and affection, and if they talk about me fondly with that, that's great. Ooh, that
Well,
doorbell ringing.
Ruby, thank you so much for joining me. It's been such an honor chatting with you. And I think if little 10-year-old me would have predicted it, she would have been very chuffed. So
Oh, thank you,
thank you
Fiona.
so
Yes,
much.
thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that episode. All links will be in the show notes, and feel free to visit smartbeautycreative.com or visit us over on Instagram to find out more about what we do. And if you enjoyed listening, please don't forget to rate and review Smart Beauty on iTunes, as it helps people find us. See you next time.